was reminded when we were praying this morning for everybody, isn't it so much better to love each other than the alternative of, what does it say about biting and devouring each other? No, I mean, seriously, you know, Jesus knew what he was talking about when he said love one another. It's such a much better thing to do. It makes everything more worthwhile. And when we're praying, it says, well, isn't there a scripture that says, let all prayer and supplication be made for all men, but especially those of the brethren, you know, and to remember those who are in bondage. And it's such a better place to be at, loving one another, than it is not loving one another. Amen, we agree with that? I was going to title this, I was going to borrow a title from a well-known children's TV show. I'll paraphrase it, though. God loves you, you love God. You know, a lot is said about the word, about hearing in the word. Be careful how you hear. Things like, let him who has ears to hear, let him hear. And I wanted to read a quote. I think maybe some of you have heard this before. And listen real carefully. It says, I know that you believe you understand what you think I said, but I am not sure you realize that what you heard is not what I meant. I know that you believe you understand what you think I said, but I'm not sure you realize that what you heard is not what I meant. Sometimes when we hear from the Lord, sometimes there's a little disconnect that the Lord says one thing, but we hear something different. An illustration of this. Let's say you have a child, and you say to your child, you can go to the beach after you finish your chores, and I want you to do them now. But what does your child hear? Go to the beach now. Isn't that so? I mean, sometimes we hear things that the way we want to hear them. Maybe not necessarily the way God says it, but the way we want to interpret it, the way we want to hear it. An example in the scriptures is John 4. If you want to turn to John chapter 4, where Jesus talks with the Samaritan woman. I won't read the story because I don't have it in front of me, but we all are familiar with the story where Jesus is sitting at the well and the woman comes up to him and he asks her to give him a drink of water. And they talk about, well, you don't have, what are you going to draw with? The well's deep. What are you going to draw with, right? And they get into a discussion and a conversation really, where he speaks to her about worship, right? They talk about worshiping in the mountain, and we're supposed to worship in the desert, and Jesus says, but a time's coming where those who worship God will worship him in spirit and truth. So they speak about worship. He talks about the living water springing forth, right? Am I right so far? Springing forth into everlasting life. He mentions about her life. What do you say? You have, what was it, five? You've had five husbands, and the one you're with now isn't your husband. So he talks about that, a little personal ministry there. And then he reveals himself as the Messiah. And what did the woman take back to her village? Come see a man who told me all about me. And yet if you look at that conversation, that was a very, very minute part of their conversation together. Here she has the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, talk to her about giving her water, springing up to eternal life. the key, the secret to worship. You're going to worship in spirit and truth. And then he just says that I'm the Messiah. And yet she goes away saying, come see a man who told me all about myself. And that's what drew the people to him at first. What did she... She just not hear what he said, that she went away with just a focus on herself. A proper reception of the word in Mark 12, if you want to turn to that. And this is just one instance. This story is related in, I believe, in all the Gospels. Mark chapter 12, starting in verse 28. It says, one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. He had overheard Jesus talking with some other teachers of the law. And noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? Have you ever wondered that? On the flight over here, I was thinking, what's the one thing I can do for you, Lord? What's the one thing I can do to fulfill your will? You know, what's the one thing? Is it to evangelize? Should I need to talk to people more about you? Should I pray more? Should I read the Bible more? Should I do this? Should I do that? What's that one thing? And same thing this teacher of the law is asking Jesus. What's the most important? Jesus said, the most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Did you hear that? There is no commandment greater than these. Well said, teacher, the man replied. You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. This teacher of the law heard what Jesus said to him and properly repeated it back. He properly understood. If he's focused on yourself, like the woman of Samaria, you can't be focused on loving him with all your heart, all your strength, all your soul, all your understanding. If you have that inward focus, what is it called, a myopic focus just on yourself, then you miss the greatest command. You miss what the Lord's really saying. We read this and agree with it, but our lives reflect the desire to give God burnt offerings. I don't know why that is. But we agree, don't we all agree that it's the most important is to love him with all of our heart, all of our strength, all of our understanding, all of our soul? But yet we still think he wants offerings and sacrifices. And what is it that we can do to give to him? There must be something else. Listen, if Jesus Christ, the Word of God, made flesh, says that the most important one is this, then we should believe that's the most important one. Amen. We should take him for his word. And not say that it's, oh, there must be something else. What is it really? That's good enough for them, but what is it really? You can tell me, Lord. No, that's it. If the Lord of the universe, the creator of heaven and earth, tells you that this is the one and most important commandment, it behooves us to believe it. No matter what our circumstances, rich or poor, healthy or sick, our response has to be, it must be, to love God more. Let's look at John 3:16. I'll close with this. We all know this scripture, very familiar to all of us. You may have had this scripture read to you when you were a non-believer, and it may have led you to be a believer. But John 3:16, and I just want to read the first six words. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. God loves you the best you can do, not the least you can do, but the best you can do is to love him back. Amen. 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 Lord bless and work to us.